In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, just last Sunday, we had the celebration of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we reminded ourselves that we're at the midway point of the fast. The fast is going by for some quickly and for others not quick enough. But this fast is a long period. It's a period of 40 days, a period of intense prayer and struggle and study and almsgiving. It's a time in which we are preparing ourselves for the great and holy week, that special week of the year where we go with our Lord Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem. We go with him to the upper room. We commune with him. We go with him into the Garden of Gethsemane and we pray and we watch. We go with him into prison. We go with him to Golgotha. We go with him to the tomb, his descent into Hades. And then we celebrate his great resurrection on that third day, that Holy Pascha. And we celebrate not only his historical resurrection from the dead, but our incorporation into that resurrection. Because as St. Paul says, those who die with Christ will also rise with him. That we're being incorporated into his life. As he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, we're fasting for 40 days. As he went up to the city of Jerusalem, as he told his disciples in the gospel, so we are going up. We're making that ascent. And that ascent, of course, ends, is concluded with our ascent beyond this world into that next age, into the kingdom on high. The kingdom of his heavenly Father that he has opened for us. The life of a Christian is one of ascent. I want to share a few things with you today. First, I want to share some numbers. And maybe perhaps you'll be able to tell me what these numbers mean. 181,440. Does that number mean anything to anyone? Okay. How about 3,024? 504? 21? 3? No, nothing? Yeah, they have many meanings, but these numbers are connected. You notice they're going from larger numbers to smaller numbers. And what I've been actually doing is reading off how many seconds there are up to Pascha, how many minutes, how many hours, how many days, and how many weeks. We're getting closer. I'm going to share with you another number. 0.057. What do you think that number is? How many years until Pascha? 0.057. Not much time until Pascha. We could add an additional number onto this, but it's a little bit hard to calculate. It's how much of our lifetime we have left until Pascha. You know, just this Lent, we as a church suffer the loss of two priests. Father Matthew Baker, who died at just 37 years old, and Father Thomas Hoppe, who just reposed this past week. And he had lived out a wonderful life of service to God, to his church, and to his family. Each and every one of us doesn't know when our lifetime will end. This could be our last Great Lent. This could be our last earthly Pascha. We have such a small fraction of it left. One of the fathers says, "Who will give us back this time if we waste it?" The answer is no one. We might feel that it's a long way to go to Pascha, and in a certain sense it is, but also in another sense, maybe a more real sense, it's such a short time. There's such a short time left in this fast. I want to share with you something that I read online. It was from Father John Parker's article that he submitted to a local newspaper. And he outlines the period of Great Lent and Holy Week, as we've just discussed, and our incorporation into the life of Christ and how important this is a time for us. And he puts it in the context of our repentance, Because the way we enter the kingdom of heaven is through our repentance, right? Christ says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Take that kingdom by repentance. And he says in this article, which is a great article, I encourage you to look it up and read it. He says, what does repentance mean? What does it mean to repent? The word itself strikes fear into the hearts of some. Occasionally browbeaten by self-appointed prophets of doom, who announce turn or burn by their placards and angry voices. For others, repent is some old-fashioned concept, rooted in a time from which we have now been liberated, a time when somebody besides myself had the authority to tell me what is right and what is wrong, mostly what is wrong. In this view, repentance is what fools do who don't yet understand that what's right in my eyes is right for me, and what's right in your eyes is right for you. Two versions of repentance. He says neither of these is Christian. So what does a Christian understand when he reads the word repent? Brother John says it means change your mind, change your heart, change your direction. Change your mind, change your heart, change your direction. Change. Repentance means change. And what kind of change are we talking about here? You know, change is something that we live in. The world is a place that's forever changing. People tell us we should change the world in this way or in that way. We have politicians who promise this, promise that. Political parties who promise change. Regime change, all these kind of things. We talk about change all the time. But what kind of change is repentance? What kind of direction are we to head in? We think about all of the types of different change that are offered to us. And, you know, in America, we know this very well. The pendulum swings back and forth, right? We become a more liberal society, a more conservative society. The Republicans are in control. The Democrats are in control. The libertarians want to take control. And this all happens on the earthly plane, where we're pulled to the left, we're pulled to the right, or by the libertarians, we're pulled in whatever direction we want to go in. We all get to choose. We all get to choose what direction we want to go in. Repentance is not choosing our own direction. Repentance is not charting our own course. Repentance is not deciding what is true, what is life, and what is the way. Repentance is realizing who is true, who is the life, and who is the way. Repentance is turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a horizontal movement, but a vertical movement. Repentance is moving from the earth to heaven. If you think about repentance in this context of Pascha, repentance is being lifted up from the grave and being given newness of life. In a bodily way, repentance is bodily resurrection, a return to God who is life. But repentance has to also be had in the soul. The soul has to come alive. The soul has to be resurrected. St. John of the Ladder, whom we commemorate today, speaks to us in his wonderful book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, about this very subject, about the resurrection of the soul before the resurrection of the body. And why is this important that it happens first? Because if our soul is not resurrected in this age, when we experience that bodily resurrection, we'll experience that as torment and hell. Right? Who's promised the resurrection from the dead? You can answer this. Christians? Yes. Non-Christians? Yes. People who repent, yes. People who don't repent, yes. Everyone's granted the resurrection from the dead. Everyone will be raised. All the tombs will be opened. Those dry bones will once again have flesh. And there'll be what? The dread judgment. And the dread judgment is about the soul of each and every one of us. And that soul has to be enlivened, illumined, sanctified, made holy. The soul has to be lifted up. It has to be resurrected. And that happens now. This ladder of divine ascent that we see in the icon is a wonderful image for us about this ascent. He talks about this ladder. It was an ancient biblical image. Everyone knows of Jacob's ladder, right? Jacob saw the angels of God descending and ascending. That they had a mission. They came down to earth to tell men that it's time to ascend. And of course, it's a prefiguration of Christ who comes down from heaven. And he ascends with our human flesh. And he prepares a place for us. And we're to make that ascent. This ladder of divine ascent is given 30 steps or 30 rungs. It begins, the first is a renunciation of the earth. A willingness to say, I don't want to be pulled horizontally anymore. I don't want to move from this camp to that camp, to this earthly person, to that earthly person. I don't want to chart my own course anymore. I want to go with God. I want Him to lift me up. Out of the mess of this world and out of my own mess. To lift me up. To be willing to renounce ourselves in the world. To give that up. And then he goes on and he talks about how each step is moving away from a vice. And another step is moving ahead to a virtue. We flee from pride, we embrace humility. We flee from greed, and we embrace generosity. And by doing this, we're making our steps. We're climbing that ladder. We're being resurrected spiritually. Finally, he says, at the very heights, at the very last rung of this ladder is the perfect union of faith, hope, and love. This trinity of virtues that unites us with the Holy Trinity and with one another. That this is what our souls are made for. To be filled with faith and hope and love. Our souls, which have the ability to know, are meant to know God's truth. Our souls, which have the ability to desire, right? We have a mind, we have a heart. Our hearts are meant to be filled with His love. And we have a will. And that will is meant to do His will. To be united with His way. St. John tells us that it's time for us to ascend. It's time for us to make that climb. But we can only do that, he says, when we start to look within. And we start to see what needs change, what needs repentance, what doesn't correspond to the perfect God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at the icon, at the very top of that ladder. Who's there but the Lord Jesus Christ ready to welcome us into those mansions that He's prepared for us, so that where He is, we too might be. We have to ascend to His stature by our incorporation into His life. You know, I had this week an experience that I want to share with you. It was not the most pleasant of experiences. I had to go to the dentist. No one likes to go to the dentist. But I had to go. I had a chipped tooth. I had some damage and I needed repair. So I went to the dentist, and I got into the office, and I said, you know, I'm here for my appointment. And I had been there before, but the woman at the desk said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to do something. And I said, well, what's that? And she handed me a clipboard with paperwork, maybe more fearful than actual the dentist appointment. And I looked at the paperwork, and I said, well, I've done this before. Been there, done that. You should have it on file. I've made this inventory, I've told you everything. Let's move past this. But they said, no, I'm sorry, we have to do this. I don't know if it's going to be annually, but we have to do it again. We're updating our books, our records. It's important. We need this information. So I sat down and I began filling out the paperwork. And I came to realize that my health wasn't as good as I had thought it was. I had forgotten things. I had become oblivious to my mortality and my physical state. But that experience is something that actually we have to do spiritually too. We have to sit down and take a personal inventory. We have to look within and see what state our soul is in. Is our soul in need of resurrection? Is our soul in need of healing? Is our soul in need of ascent? And I think that there's no better time to do that but during the Great and Holy Fast. You know, the Church bids us to make a confession and not to have it be pro forma and not just to say, oh, this is all on the books. You know, I did this last year, same as last year, Father. The Church bids us to stop and to really make that inventory, because this is not about a chipped tooth. This is not about a corruptible body. This is about an immortal soul and our eternal destiny. The Church tells us, stop. Look within. Make this assessment. And not only make the assessment, but make that repentance. Make that change of mind, of heart, of will, of our whole being, of our whole direction, so that we're making that ascent. And ask the Brother Gregory who's serving to pass out a spiritual checklist. It's a preparation for confession. Now, I know many of you have already seen this or have other preparations for confession. And if you have them, use them. But for those who don't have the preparation, examine it. Read it. Think about it. Ask questions about it. It's a way for us to look within and to make those corrections. If we approach confession just dealing with those things that are on our conscience that bother us because things are not right with me and my perspective on life, we're missing the whole point of confession. Because confession isn't for us to better our own path or to tweak our own ideologies or to strengthen our own desires or whatever, live our own life. Confession is not about being true to ourselves, it's about being true to God and abiding in His truth and in His way and in His life. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you the final advice that's given by St. John of the Ladder. Here's what he says at the end of this book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, this classic work. He says, ascend, brothers, ascend eagerly, and be resolved in your hearts to ascend. Run, I beseech you, with him who said, let us hasten until we attain to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion, power, in whom is and was and will be the cause of all goodness throughout endless ages. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.